little children, we would dream of Christmas morn and all the gifts and toys we knew we'd find. But we never realized a baby born that blessed night gave us the greatest gift of our lives. We are the reason that he gave his life. We are the reason that he suffered and died. To a world that was lost, he gave all he could give to show us the reason to live. As the years went by, we learned more about gifts and the giving of ourselves and what that means. On a dark and cloudy day, a man hung dying in the rain because of love, because of love. We are the reason that he gave his life. We are the reason that he suffered and died. To a world that was lost, he gave all he could give to show us the reason to live. I finally found the reason for living. It's in giving every part of my heart to him. In all that I do, every word that I say, I'll be giving my all just for him, for him. We are the reason that he gave his life. We are the reason that he suffered and died. To a world that was lost, he gave all he could give to show us the reason to live. We are the reason, he is my reason to live.
Thank you for that, Nick. We are in the book of Proverbs again. I think we had the handouts for you. We have been in Proverbs for quite a time. There's been a few times we've kind of split it up, but we have been talking about the lazy man. I don't think everybody here is lazy. Really, when we look at it like that, we're looking at the opposite of it, to be honest, so we can be diligent. I don't think everybody here is lazy, but even a person that's not lazy, like we talked about when we talked about the foolish man, you may not be like that, but there may be times when we lapse into that kind of area in certain areas. So that's what we want to look at. By the way, Brother Rith, where are you at, Brother Rith? Okay, you're going back, right? This is your last service? Good. We're going to miss Brother Rith. It was good to have him around. Make sure you say goodbye to him. Go by and shake his hand. He said everybody that comes by and shakes his hand, he has $5 for him. So make sure you go see him. Just kidding. All right, so let's look at it. We've looked at, number one, the conditions of the lazy man. We looked at some of the consequences of being a lazy person. We looked, number three, we started last week at looking for the cure. God wants us to be diligent. By the way, character is a big issue, and character is very deficient in our society. Just be real honest with you. We have raised a generation of, I'm trying to put it in a nice word, babies. Okay, I don't get my way, I throw a fit. Okay, the election doesn't go my way, I'm going to go downtown because I don't have a job, and I'm going to spend days protesting. Okay, now look, if somebody's doing something, they decide to do something wrong, you want to protest, that's fine. It was an election. That's the United States of America. That's kind of the foundation of our freedoms, people. But that, and the whole principle is, I don't get my way, I pout. We've kind of just force-fed. And by the way, the diligence will kind of take care of that kind of stuff. If we had a little bit of diligence to us, diligence to us, we wouldn't worry about that. So we looked at the cure for the lazy person. Last week we said learn from those who aren't lazy. Of course, the verses we're looking at are the ant, is the verses about the ant. They're a good picture of what a diligent person is like. Then we said letter B, be willing to work on your own without help. Okay? We won't go back into that. This is new. Letter C, learn how to work. I'll let you get there. Learn how to work without supervision. Okay? Said, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Verse 6. Consider her ways and be wise. They're an example. Watch them. You'll learn from them how they work. And we go to examples of people who encourage us in work ethic. Verse 7. Which having no guide, that's they work without help. Overseer. In other words, some people only work if there's someone on top of them. I remember when we were in Bible college, the best job to get, and I didn't get it, okay, the best job to get was UPS. They only had 4-hour shifts, and they got paid more than double what the average person got per hour in the jobs we worked. But they expected a lot of them. They had some crazy thing where they had one foreman or supervisor for every 4 or 5 workers, guys that were loading the trucks, to keep them on target, to keep everything fast-paced. And I guess you might need that. But it would be nice to be a kind of person your boss looks at and says, you know what, I don't have to constantly watch this person. They just work because they're supposed to be working. You've seen the bumper sticker, Jesus is coming, look busy, right? Okay. That's just how it is. I remember, I mentioned this before, but when we first moved into this building, we spent the first 2 months really just remodeling every day. We'd come to work in our work clothes, we remodeled. And so everybody had a different project. All the staff guys were working. We had people helping us. And the old two-story house, there was a PO system when we needed stuff, and we constantly needed supplies. And so we would go in there and fill out the PO. So there was a couch in there. So I remember I went in there to fill out a PO. I was doing the bathrooms. I forget what Brother Board was doing. And he was in there sitting on the couch filling out a PO. And so I grabbed a PO and I sat next to him on the couch and we're filling out the POs. And Pastor Esposito walked in. And we just instinctively, when Pastor Esposito walked in, we stood up. We weren't doing anything wrong. We were just filling out POs. But it was almost like, boss is here, you better get up, all right? We should have just been standing up the whole time. But some people are like that. They'll work when the boss is around. They'll work when someone's watching over them. But boy, if you don't watch over them, we had a kid years ago, I won't tell you who it was. He's not here anymore. He was on work scholarship when I oversaw the work scholarship at the old building. And good kid, great spirit, great attitude, but man, he could not work. And I'd say, brother, did you, I sent him out, we're in the parking lot. I said, go around the corner there and sweep the parking lot. And he goes, yes, sir. I went to my office. A couple hours later, Pastor Esposito said, hey, I thought you were going to get the alley cleaned. Like, I saw them walk over there. So I went and got him. I said, come here, brother. I'm like, come with me. And I literally walked him to the alley. I said, this is it. Get to work. Yes, sir. I'll do it, Brother Myers. And he started. I went to my office. He stopped. Good kid. But, man, you had to be standing over him. I didn't have time to stand over him. Don't be like that. It's your job. That's called being a man pleaser. You know, the boss isn't around. We start to wander, whether physically or mentally. Let's get our jobs done. The New Testament gives us an admonition as Christians. Look at Colossians there on your paper. It says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Not with eye service. And by the way, servants isn't in the Bible when you look at it. It's always not always slave. Sometimes people would get into debt or whatever, and the way that they got their debt paid off, they had to be a servant to the other person. But he's saying when you work in there, don't be a man pleaser. Just doing stuff that the boss, when the boss is around to please him. But in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. And I'll be honest with you, I've worked in different places. I've worked in union shops, this, that, and other. And I've worked in places where you couldn't fire a guy unless he killed 2 people, okay, on work hours. And they don't work hard, and they're making the same amount of you. as you, and it would be easy to justify just saying, well, I'm just not going to work that hard because I'm getting paid the same as him. But we're supposed to work because we know the Lord. And by the way, let me say this. If you work hard, time goes by a lot faster. Also, and you have a little more to it. So let's learn to work without supervision. By the way, you probably end up getting a raise. If I have somewhere and it's like I don't have to oversee them all the time. Just here's what we're doing. Here's the vision or check up, and they're out doing it. It's like that person needs more money. They're very valuable. They're doing what they're supposed to do. Letter D. Kind of the same thing, different angle. Do things without being told to. Do things without being told to, which having no guide, they don't have to always be helped. Overseer, someone doesn't have to sit there and watch them in order for them to work. Or ruler, okay? What's a ruler? Ruler has someone that's kind of, here's what you do, I'm in charge of this, the ruler, here's everything you have to do. Now, I understand in our jobs, that's part of our jobs, right? Do this today, do this today, do this today. But can I just tell you something? Don't just look at the list of things the boss tells you to do and only do that. I guarantee you, if you do something to help that wasn't on your job description, your boss isn't going to get mad. He'll probably like it. Okay? We just do bare minimum. That is kind of what our society is. Oh, well, that's not my job description. Well, your job description is whatever your boss says. Okay? That's the way it works. I'm not supposed to do that. You just do it. Your boss says do it. Guess what? That's the command. Do things without being told to. Learn to think for yourself. You know. By the way, the average person, you give them a task to do, they'll do it. And if there's something that comes up, they have to think it through. They won't do it. They'll just like, well, I have to wait to be told. Well, figure it out. Now, if it's you know, if you're a surgeon and it's like, hey, that's not supposed to ask somebody, okay? You know what I'm talking? I'm just saying, sometimes we can just figure stuff out, but we don't want to because it gives us an excuse to wait for the boss. Learn how to do it. Everything that you have to do. You know, there's a famous essay. I don't know if how many of you heard it. It's called Message to Garcia. How many ever heard that, Message to Garcia? It's a great, great little essay. I'm going to read a portion of it here. It was written in the early 1900s. I don't know who the lady was. But at that time, there was a war the end of the 1800s, in the beginning of the 1900s. So it was war between Spain. And the United States president found a man named Rowan to go into Cuba to find a man named General Garcia. Now I did check the facts. Her facts and what really happened aren't necessarily true. But this man was given a task, like, go into there, find this Garcia. I want to find out how the war's going. It was pretty dangerous. I read the guy's story. It was fascinating, but very, very dangerous. But he went and did it. And from that, she wrote a little essay. And by the way, she's getting on people 110, 115 years ago. I wonder what she would say if she was alive today. Let me read a part of it to you. She said, General Garcia is dead now. But there are other Garcias. She's just talking about working in general. No man who has endeavored to carry out an enterprise where many hands were needed, but has been well nigh appalled at times by the imbecility of the average man. She says people are appalled because the average person doesn't know what they're doing. The inability or unwillingness to concentrate on a thing and do it. Slipshod assistance, foolish inattentions, dowdy indifference, and half-hearted work seem the rule. And no man succeeds unless by hook and crook or threat he forces or bribes other men to assist him. God in his goodness performs a miracle and sends an angel of light for an assistant. She's being facetious. You can't get people to do anything, and if they do something, it seems to be a miracle. You, reader, put this matter to the test. You are sitting now in your office. 6 clerks are within your call. Summon any one and make this request. Please look in the encyclopedia and make a brief memorandum for me concerning the life of Corriego. I have no idea who that is. Now, this is back before the internet, okay? Now we would just do a Google search for Corriego and we'd have everything we needed. But she's saying, go grab an average person and say, listen, go get an encyclopedia and tell me about this guy. She says, here's what they'll say. Will the clerk quietly say, yes, sir, and go to the task? On your life, he will not. He will look at you out of a fishy eye and ask one or more of the following questions. Who was he? Which encyclopedia? Where is the encyclopedia? Was I hired for that? Did you mean Bismarck? What's the matter with Charlie doing it? Brother Jim, I guess. Is he dead? Is there any hurry? Shall I bring you the book and let you look it up yourself? What do you want to know for? By the way, people do this all the time. Okay? Sometimes you just got to say, I didn't ask you to think. I didn't ask you to grill me. Go do what I told you to do. Figure it. You know, sometimes it's just figure it out. Oh, but I ain't got time. Figure it out. But most people won't do that. I will lay you 10 to 1 that after you have answered the questions and explained how to find the information and why you want it, the clerk will go off and get one of the other clerks to help him find Garcia and then come back and tell you there is no such man. Of course, I may lose my bet, but according to the law of average, I will not. Be the kind of person that says, if I'm given a task, I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to get it done. Now, you may need some information. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying most of the time, we're just, well, what about this? Listen, questions you can answer yourself. By the way, your children do that all the time. Go find that for me. And here's what they do. I couldn't find it. You know, we cured that at our house. Our kids, I just said, okay, I'll tell you what. You want me to go find it? Because if I find it, you're in trouble. And you know what they always say? Let me go look for it again. And I'm telling you, 9 times out of 10, they come back and say, found it. Okay? They just didn't look very hard. But as adults, let's not do that, all right? Letter E. We got to hurry. We want to finish this up today. E. Learn to work when you could be playing. Verse 8. Provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. Why are they gathering their meat in summer and in the harvest? By the way, those are probably the best weather times of the year, right? You know why they're doing that? Because winter's coming. And when winter's coming, ants don't do very well with that kind of weather. They had better store up for the winter, or what's going to happen is winter's going to come and they're not going to have what they need because they were playing when they should have been working. That's the average person today. You know, it's the story of the ants and the grasshopper, right? Grasshopper played all summer. The ants took care of themselves. And when winter came, the ants had to party with all the stuff they had already supplied. And the grasshopper, I don't know the whole story. Did he die? You know what he would do in our day? He would sue the ants for not sharing, and he would probably get half of what they got. But it's just do what you're supposed to do. By the way, life isn't just about fun. It's not. Now, by the way, have fun. Enjoy yourself when there's time to it, when it's the time to enjoy yourself. But when it's time to work, get after it. By the way, do you know you have to work? You have to work at minimum 40 hours a week. That's a big portion of your week. You might want to learn how to work hard, enjoy your work, so that that time goes by a lot faster. By the way, the worst. I shouldn't say that because there's security guards in here. But one of the worst jobs I ever worked, not that it was hard, it was security. Third shift. And I was a Bible college student going to college full time, getting about 5 hours sleep, and then driving an hour to work in Chicago so I could stand up all night. That was a blessing. And then I still remember. I was at the Chicago, it was on Lakeshore Drive, the big McCormick Center. And all night, you know, when you're up in the middle of the night, you know that little hum that kind of gets in your ear? You know, how many know what I'm talking about? You guys probably sleep at night, so you don't understand it. All night long, they played that Frank Sinatra song, Chicago is my kind of town. I had to listen to that song. I got that song memorized. But no, I'd sing it, but you'd all go home. But it was just like, and by the way, no one was going to steal anything. I don't even know why they had us there. The doors were locked. But you know, it's kind of hard to be real energetic, that type of thing. And so time went by slow. The hardest thing was, you know, staying awake. There was about 7 or 8 of us college students there. So I made sure I got the job where I was the where I would give the breaks. I didn't have a post. I just walked around all night, and then I would give guys break. Oh, hey, take your 15-minute break. Now, these were college students that weren't getting much sleep, so I'd walk over and I'd say, hey, wake up, time for your break, okay? I'll sleep at your post for 15 minutes here. But listen, Yeah, you have a job. If you're dragging, doing this, it's not very fun. But you know, when you work hard, you kind of make not a game out of it, but like, I want to accomplish something here. I want to do the best I can. Not only will you enjoy it more, you're probably going to get a promotion and a raise. So that works there too. But let's work when we're supposed to work. If you're paid to work, work. Okay? Ephesians 4:28 says, "Let him that stole steal no more." I like the Bible, so practical. How do you get over stealing? I'm going to help you with it. Don't steal anymore. That's the Bible, and it's really revolutionary. But let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. God says, you want to get over stealing? Start working, work hard, and not only will you be taken care of, you'll be able to be a blessing to others. And so let's work when we're supposed to be working. Well, you know, look, I wouldn't do real well out in the world. Now, our people at work here, they use their cell phones at work, right? Okay? I hope they're not playing Galactic Space Chickens or something like that. But they use their phones at work. But listen, if you go to a Subway, they don't need to have their phone out. But how many times do you see them do that? It's like, brother, it's like, you're supposed to be working. If I was your boss, you wouldn't have your phone, unless you needed it for your work. But that's just a waste of time. People don't work when they're supposed to be working. Let's teach them how to do that, okay? Let's go to number four. I think we're at number four, right? Yes? Oh, no, no, wait. No, no. Where? I'm confused here. Are we having a good time? Hold on. Yes, I'm at number four. Well, guess what? If I'm not at number four, I am now. Okay, number four. It's the last one. The contrast of a lazy person. What do you mean a contrast? What is the biblical contrast for a person who's lazy? What's the opposite? The Bible word is the diligent man. Okay, that's the contrast. Let me just say a few things about the diligent man. And it's not, you know, it's not all every time. These are principles. Letter A, the diligent person tends to earn more. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. When he says he's with a slack hand, that's a picture of someone that runs a loose ship. You know, someone says, you run a tight ship. In other words, they keep on top of things. They're making sure everything's running the way it's supposed to do. Boy, they're on top of their job and all of those things. It says, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. The person that's slack, they're not doing it. They're kind of just letting up. But the hand of the diligent maketh rich. A person who doesn't work hard or is loose in their work just tends to make less money. Now, I understand there are places where you get a bad boss, and he may not like you for personal reasons, okay? Deal with it. And do the best you can. But all things being equal, in most places, those that work the hard and produce the most will usually tend to make a little bit more. Now, I understand if you're in a place where seniority is the 11th commandment, that may not work. But it's a general rule of thumb. Okay, bosses want things accomplished. Owners want achievement. And when they see someone who is achieving, you can bet they're going to mark that person and they're going to keep an eye on them. The diligent person isn't slack. They don't let up. Working diligently makes you profitable and invaluable as an employee. Plus, God just blesses hard work and effort. God just does. He blesses it. Proverbs 14:23 says, in all labor there is profit. Letter B, the diligent person tends to lead more. The diligent person tends to lead more. Now, you can find a diligent person and maybe that's just not their skill, and I understand that. That's not saying. But all things being equal, a person that's diligent, if you're going to look at who's going to be in charge, they're going to look for someone who has the qualities but also is diligent. I've known many people, they're brilliant, just brilliant, but they don't accomplish anything because they're not diligent. Okay, their brilliance is really tempered by their lack of effort, and it kind of holds them back. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. By the way, the higher up a person goes in position, the bigger example they are, the more people look at them, and the more they have to deal with things, and if they can't work, then it's not going to really work. A diligent man tends to employ diligent principles in his life and work. You know that old saying, right? Cream rises to the top. You can see people sometimes, and you just notice them and say, excuse me, there's something different about that man. I'm going to say something about one of the employees, but it could be said about many of our employees here. But when Brother Beck first started here, I remember, I don't know, he did something with the buses and the shuttle we had and all that stuff. And I remember one time Pastor and I were just standing out in the parking lot, and we were talking about something, and Brother Beck was brand new. Pastor and I were discussing something, and I happened to look over, and I saw Brother Beck, and he's doing all this stuff, and he's like a bee, you know, just all over the place. He was just a new employee. That means, he has all this stuff. And I'm like, wow, I'm kind of impressed. He's on the ball. And Pastor said the same thing. And, there's no wonder that now he's really pastoring the Monterey Park Church. Okay, because he was diligent, and God blessed that, and he has abilities, and he uses his abilities. And so use the abilities you have to the best of your ability. Don't sit back. Be diligent about it. Okay? Letter C. The diligent person tends to appreciate more. The diligent person tends to appreciate more. The slothful man, Proverbs 12:27 tells us, roasteth not that which he took in hunting. But the substance of a diligent man is precious. Now, you talked about this verse a little earlier. They both had the energy or the motivation to go out hunting in the first place. And they went out hunting. They both caught something. But the person that's lazy, the slothful man, he wasted. He caught it. By the way, there was no grocery stores in those days. There's no 7-Eleven. There's no McDonald's. Praise God for that. Okay? None of those things. And so that was a source of, the fur they could use, the food they can use. But he wasted. It's not a big deal to him. I can get more. It's not a big deal. But a diligent man says, you know what? We took effort to get this. I'm not going to waste it. They appreciate what they get a little bit more. By the way, we live in this throwaway society. Everybody's throwaway. Teach your family, your kid. I don't like the way kids sometimes use toys. It's like we have these things outside the kids can ride in, and they want to. I know little boys, and I'm all for it. By the way, they want to slam them into the wall, and I'm all for that. If they do it at their house with their toys, okay, slam into the wall. You want be a little boy. I'm 100% for that. I don't want you carrying dolls. Be a boy. By the way, there's only two. There's a boy or a girl. And whatever you're born is what you remain. Okay, I just thought I'd throw that out there for you. But, it's like, listen, next thing you know, the little plastic door's off. Instead of four wheels, it now has three. Okay, take care of what you have. We're just very, very wasteful. Take care of that thing. Money doesn't grow on trees. But you just teach them to take care of things. A diligent person appreciates more and takes care of that which they have. Letter D. The diligent person tends to know more. Not in the sense of being a know-it-all. It says, the Bible says, be thou diligent. Chapter 27, verse 23. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds. He had some type of cattle and herds. And the Bible's saying the diligent man knows all about them. You know the story of the 100, sheep? And Jesus said, if one go away, and he was used as a parable, will the shepherd go to find it on the Sabbath day? Is there anything wrong with that? And it's like, well, no. Okay, that's a story. But my question is this. If you had 100 head of cattle or a herd in your herd, and then one is missing and now you only have 99, how many of you could tell that by just looking? 199 look pretty. If I threw 100 pennies down here, and you turned your head and I pulled one out, you would not be able to tell the difference. He didn't tell by looking. Obviously, he was being accountable with every single one of those. He was paying attention to them. And he knew when, hey, wait a minute, we had 100, one's missing. Okay? And he's saying, be diligent to know what's going on. Take care of what you have by knowing your business. Most people are very, very bad. You could apply this so many ways. Money. We don't understand our money. We don't know where our money is. We don't have budgets, and we kind of are always floating. Do I have enough for that? Know everything about what you are responsible for. Okay, if you're responsible for it, you're responsible to have an understanding of what's going on with it. Letter E. The diligent person tends to protect more. Now we're totally switching gears. Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all what? Diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. The heart is the symbol of our inner life, the source of all of our behavior. And so therefore, it must be protected. Now, I didn't say it should be followed. That's the worst advice you will ever hear. And our world just seems to think that's, you go, what should I do with my life? Follow your heart. Really? Have you ever felt like doing something just really, you know, I don't know, hurtful to somebody? Someone cut you off on the freeway and you want to get back at them? That's your heart telling you that, right? Don't listen to your heart. Because your heart stuff gets in there. You know what you got to do? You got to guard and protect your heart and lead your heart. The diligent man does that. He's very careful about what he allows in his heart. Because what gets in there, if we're not careful and we're not protective, will come out in our life, and we need to be very careful. Our heart and our hands go together. Look at Psalms chapter 24, verse 3 and 4. Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. The same sentence you see, clean hands, pure heart, goes together. Everything in life springs from there. Proverbs 22:3, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hide himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Boy, someone that's really diligent and prudent, they see what's coming. They don't just, they're like, you know what? This could lead down a bad path. This could be bad for me. I better be careful here. But the simple, like, whatever, and they run right into trouble, and they pay for it. Letter F, the diligent person tends to respect more. He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall come to him. Mischief means the breaking of all that is good or depravity. The person who is diligent about being right, doing right, and good tends to find more favor from others than those who do not. Just a principle. We have to hurry. We have 2 minutes. Letter G. The diligent person tends to prepare more. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. Why would this man stand before kings? Because in his business dealings, in that type of life, he's prepared. He's been diligent. That's going to put him in the right place. He is ready. Lazy people procrastinate. They never finish. They're never available. And so they never, ever get, or they miss out on opportunities that maybe a diligent man would not have messed up on. I heard a really good story about this. And I'm not, by the way, I used to like the Warriors a little bit, but not anymore. Their coach is in left field. A lot of their players are too. Someone might want to tell Clay Thompson, who says he's a Christian, that marijuana is not good. Okay? And if you're going to say it is good, don't tell people you're Christian. You're giving Christ a bad name. Tell him I said that. If I had his email, I'd tell him. But anyhow, these shoe companies, their big thing in basketball is shoe companies. They want all these endorsements. And so Steph Curry, he's real popular right now. I think Durant's with Nike. Well, Nike was trying to sign him, you know, to his shoe contract. They didn't prepare. What they did is they took Kevin Durant's, because they bring him in and they give him this, they show him PowerPoints. Here's what we're going to do for you. What they did is they took Kevin Durant's PowerPoint and just made some changes to it. But there was one of the slides they forgot to take his name off. And then they got his name wrong. So he left there and thought, I'm not signing with these bozos. Because they weren't prepared. Somebody just, oh, here, let's just throw this together. He's like, if they're not even prepared enough to get my name right and leave someone else's name on the thing, I ain't going there. Diligence. Just be ready in everything you're doing. By the way, we should be ready in everything we do. We, you know, we run our Sunday school classes. Let's be ready, teachers. Bus routes, let's be ready. You work in the nursery. Get as ready as you possibly can, but you can never really be ready for that, okay? Parking attendants, greeters, all that we do. Last thing is this. The diligent person tends to think more. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plentiness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want. Thoughts mean reckonings or calculations. The diligent man is thinking things through so everything he does will have a good touch on it and it'll be profitable. But the lazy man doesn't think things through, and often it just leads to failure. In a worst case scenario, it can lead to major disaster. Let's pray.